It is 14 November. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Gender equality. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. We got some news from Israel, but before I do that, I want to introduce somebody that showed up at church. Now, he emailed me yesterday and said, I'm going to be in Sarasota tomorrow, and so his name is Amal Barati, okay? And he has got a very interesting experience of how he got here. He had emailed some people to go to Washington, D.C. and learn how to evangelize people up there, a particular group of people, and you know, how to respond to certain types of questions and everything, and that never worked out. And so he did the natural thing, and instead of finding another evangelism thing to do, he booked a ticket on a sailboat that sailed out of Charleston, South Carolina, and sailed all the way out into the Atlantic, around Florida, and came up to Naples. So obviously that's the same thing as evangelism, right? That's what he did. So he's been on a sailboat for the past few days, and he arrived, and then he came up from Naples today to Sarasota. And he's actually originally, or not originally, but he is living in Nashville, Tennessee. So I think that's the most unique way of all to get to the Superior Word on Sunday morning is to sail from Charleston, South Carolina to South Florida. So we welcome you. We thank you for that amazing effort. And I bet it was an amazing time. If you've ever done something like that on it, it was a 48-foot catamaran. And he did say that it got a little bouncy there for a while. I won't say what happened to him, but he was on duty and he had to watch the sun where he's going. And, you know, you get into the motion and it can cause a little bit of trouble, if you know what I'm saying. So we'll leave it at that. Okay, some news from Israel, from the Times of Israel. We have Israel prepares to launch giant missile detecting balloon over the north. Now, they have something else that's very cool that came out a day ago. I'm not going to include that. I may talk about it next week. It's made every major newspaper in the world. So if you haven't been reading the newspaper, pick one up and you'll find out what they have. But this is something that hasn't made a lot of news. It's a giant missile detecting balloon. Israel's preparing to launch a massive new balloon equipped with an advanced missile and aircraft detection system into the northern sky. The deployment of the radar-based system, set to take place at an unspecified date shortly, comes as a part of a general effort by the IAF to improve the country's air defenses, especially in the north, due to the proliferation of Iranian drones and cruise missiles in the region. The detection system, dubbed Sky-Dew, D-E-W, is meant to be deployed at high altitudes in order to detect incoming long-range missiles, cruise missiles, and drones. Israel already maintains an array of radar systems to detect incoming threats, but the new aerostat is meant to complement and improve existing capabilities by placing the sensors at high altitude. The elevated sensor system provides a significant technological and operational advantage for early and precise threat detection. This technology increases the reliability of aerial surveillance picture and increases efficiency against a range of targets. The Sky-Dew aerostat, one of the largest of its kind, and it's a big thing, was developed in a joint venture by Israel's Missile Defense Organization and the U.S. Missile Defense Agency over the course of several years. In recent months, the system has undergone final testing and was being prepared for operational deployment over northern Israel. So it's got all these sensors and it can just tell everything that's going on, kind of like an AWACS, which is stationary, if you can picture that. Very cool technology. From Ynet, Israel uncovers munition-filled Syrian bunker from the Six-Day War. I just thought it was kind of interesting. Yeah, you find a bunker full of bombs and stuff. Israel revealed it had uncovered an old Syrian military bunker filled with ammunition in the northern part of the country, believed to be from the Six-Day War. The bunker was uncovered in the western part of the Golan Heights during a mine-clearing operation carried out by the Defense Ministry. The fortification known as Al-Murtafa was used to target Israeli communities in the nearby Hula Valley. The bunker is located near a memorial site for fallen IDF soldiers from the Alexandroni Brigade, which assumed the command for Israel's troops in the Golan Heights towards the end of the war. The defense ministry said that its team found hundreds of pieces of ordnance, including mortar shells of different calibers, flares, pyrotechnic munitions, explosives, hunting rifle ammunition, and more. Some of the munition found were stored in the original packaging. Kind of cool to find something like that after, what was that, 67 war? That's been quite a while, and none of it exploded and caused the place to blow up. Anyway, from all Israel. Israel to work with Gates Foundation on climate change technologies. Wow. Man, just terrible stuff. Israel, you know what? This guy built a computer, right? Yeah. And he got people to continue to build computers for him. I mean, he's not the smartest guy in the world, and yet he's suddenly a specialist in vaccinations. He's a specialist in climate change, and it's appalling that people rely on this person, but an entire nation now is joining with him. Israel will begin working with the Gates Foundation on high-tech climate change innovation, Prime Minister Bennett announced after he met with the billionaire and vaccine philanthropist Bill Gates. We decided to establish a joint work group between Israel and the Gates Foundation so that we can harness the power of Israeli high-tech in the global fight on climate change. Listen, if you wake up in the morning and the climate is different an hour later, that's climate change. The climate changes. This is an insane agenda. Amen. Bennett and Gates discuss the importance of recruiting the business and high-tech sectors in the global fight against the climate crisis. Israel is known as the startup nation, and I think it's time we channel our national energy, which is the energy of the people and the brain power, to fighting climate change. We're going to take this on as a national mission. What a disgrace. From Israel Hayom, Bahraini Crown Prince to visit Israel in historic boost to Abraham Accords. That'll be in early December. Times of Israel. In first for conservative movement, women rabbis tie knot in same-sex wedding. I can't tell you how many things are wrong with that one sentence, okay? The first thing that comes to my mind when I see things like this is Ezekiel 36:22. Yes. Yet not for your sake, O house of Israel, am I going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have blasphemed among the nations and continue to do so. 15 years after a landmark decision in Judaism's conservative movement that paved the way for gay and lesbian students to enter its rabbinical schools and for rabbis to perform same-sex weddings, it would seem like destiny that two conservative rabbis would wed. Rabbi Ariella Rosen and Rabbi Becca Walker tied the knot at the conservative movement's camp in Palmer, Massachusetts, with yet another queer woman rabbi officiating. Rosen's father, Rabbi Jim Rosen, also played a role. The entire thing is just revolting. Okay, we have some news concerning Christianity. Before I give you the news, Jerry Jeffer got right through the Esther sermons about a week ago. He said he was going to start Esther, and he went through all of them. And then Jonathan Ryu has finished all of Exodus. So my hat is off to both of them. They're just plugging right through the sermons, and they're enjoying it. I'm very proud of these people that are willing to not just listen to 872,972 prophecy updates every week, but to also participate in the sermons. Hats off to them. Okay, from Breitbart, Pope Francis compares effects of climate change to World War II. Yeah, it's that bad. The wounds inflicted on our human family by the COVID-19 pandemic and the phenomenon of climate change are comparable to those resulting from a global conflict, the Pope said in his message to COP26. This is this past week. Today, as in the aftermath of the Second World War, the international community as a whole needs to set as a priority the implementation of collegial, solidary, and far-sighted actions. A little further along, Francis returned to the same analogy, forecasting that in the near future, environmental migrants will be more numerous than refugees from war and conflicts. Actually, that's not true. These people are being given an excuse to be migrants by saying that, you know, we have climate change, and so we're going to allow you to come in for that reason. This is just a global agenda. In his message, the Pope urged the world leaders to take up the vital task of demonstrating to the entire international community whether there really exists a political will to devote, with honesty, responsibility, and courage, greater human, financial, and technological resources to mitigating the negative effects of climate change. There is no alternative to battling climate change Adopting still more hyperbolic language, the Pope said that humanity faces an epical challenge, while pressing wealthier nations, of course, to take a leading role in the areas of climate finance, decarbonization in the economic system, and in people's lives. The promotion of a circular economy, providing support to more vulnerable countries. There is no denying that wealthier nations have a growing ecological debt to poorer nations. Here it is, wealth redistribution, because of their disproportionate use of natural resources. CBN, Chinese government adds anti-Christian propaganda to movies for kindergartners during field trips. The CCP is unrelenting in the pursuit to wipe out Christianity from the country. Now the government is even trying to brainwash children as young as 3 years old into believing that it's an illegal religion. Bitter Winter reports that nearly 100 kindergartners in the district of Jiaocheng were taken on a tour of a science museum last month. The trip started out fun as they learned how to drive a train and ride in a helicopter. Then the 3 to 6 year olds were subjected to a program about preventive education and were cautioned that Christianity is a zijiao, or evil cult. The children were given illustrated booklets, then forced to watch cartoons that deliver a negative message about Christianity. In fact, one movie portrayed the Church of Almighty God as wicked people. In the video, it warned one another against its superstition. This is part of an ongoing campaign by China's communist regime to teach children to hate God. CBN News previously reported that school children have been trained for years to report any family members who espouse Christian views. We think we got it bad here. It may get that way very quickly. I mean, they're trying their best to do this. But right now, at least we can meet, we can talk about Jesus, and we don't have to have our children subjected to this. Well, outside of public schools, I should say. Some news from the Mideast and Africa today. Times of Israel, just one of these typical things that I report on, just so you know what people are thinking. Several wounded in knife attack on German high-speed train. The Bild newspaper said at least 3 people had been hurt, 2 of them seriously. A spokeswoman said none of them had suffered life-threatening injuries. According to Bild, the suspect is a 27-year-old man of Arab origin who may be suffering, anybody? From psychiatric problems. Same thing, every article I ever read, that's the first thing they identify, psychiatric problems. So unless you are willing to identify the problem, you will never find a solution.
Exactly.
From PMW, here it is, equal rights for women, gender equality, here it is, from PMW. Palestinian women honored for role in terror on National Palestinian Women's Day. Palestinian Authority Minister of Women's Affairs cites female mass murderer and female martyrs as proof of gender equality in Palestinian society. Yeah, no kidding. PA Governor of Ramallah, the Palestinian women have always been the spearhead alongside the men in defending our national rights. They have been self-sacrificing fighters, wounded, prisoners, and martyrs. The proof that the women are continuing to fulfill their pioneering role is the fact that 40 lauded women from among the Palestinian people are in the Zionist enemy's prison. Going back to the Arab riots of 1929, the female minister first highlighted the fact that women were partners in the battle of resolve and defiance, and 9 female martyrs died. The minister, Hamad, singled out mass murderer Dalal Mughrabi, who led the killing of 37 Israeli civilians, among them 12 children, in 1978. As a third example, the minister mentioned the fact that there are also female prisoners in the occupation's prisons. These examples serve the minister as a proof of gender equality in Palestinian society and that men and women are going hand in hand. Minister Al-Khalia says, this day is an honoring one of the Palestinian struggle and appreciation for the women's role and participation in all stages of the struggle and building the institutions of the Palestinian state. This is how they build, is by blowing their women up in public places where there are Jews. This is building to them. I also emphasize the role of the female Palestinian prisoners in all stages of the national struggle. They are an important phenomena of struggle in the history of the Palestinian people and the prisoners' movement. My message to the Palestinian women is that they should continue in the popular resistance. For example, the term used by Palestinians, which also refers to the use of violence and terror and continue to work alongside the men. Work in this case means blow yourself up. It's unbelievable.
What's
going to happen to them with that? I don't know. You know, unless they're Kamala Harris. From the Gateway Pundit. Taliban holds a parade for Islamic Emirate Army with U.S. military gear, vehicles, and choppers provided by Biden. The Taliban held a military parade with our U.S. vehicles and helicopters given to them by the Biden-Obama admin on Veterans Day. They purposely picked our Veterans Day to put that in our face. So we can thank Biden for that. From Breitbart, Biden considers roadmap for normalizing relations with the Taliban. Of course he does, because they just did that, and that was a symbol of their unity. Might as well get together and get behind him now. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia, from Mail Online. Mongolian Empire's capital, Karakorum, is mapped for the very first time. Stunning renders reveal the city founded by Genghis Khan's son 700 years ago was much larger than previously thought. Did you know this? You do now. From Karakorum, it was founded by a son of Genghis Khan. His name was Ogodai. Okay, and it's got two little umlauts over the O, so it's probably something like Ergodai or something. Anyway, in the 13th century, he founded it on the site of a former Mongol empire and camped and built it up. Researchers mapped the city using scanners that also tracked the magnetic field. This allowed them to study different materials underground without digging. They found most of the city inside the walls was left empty as it spread outside. Cool. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up with that? From New Atlas. This is interesting. It's available now. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it here in the U.S. with our, you know, shipping crisis, but it's a great idea, and this will take care of the global warming problem or the climate change or whatever it is today, and we won't need to worry about that anymore. Super efficient linear compressor could vastly reduce air conditioning power use. Yeah. Compressor efficiency might not sound like the most exciting topic in the world, but consider this. The hotter the world gets, of course they have to throw that in, the wealthier its developing countries become, the more air conditioners will come online. According to the IEA, fans and aircon already represent an astonishing 10% of global electricity consumption. But as billions more homes in hot areas install AC, that power demand is set to skyrocket. This demand surge will come at the same time we try to decarbonize a huge range of other sectors, from transport to industry, by electrifying everything and scrambling to make enough green electricity to run it all. Cooling the planet, in other words, is going to make it a lot harder to stop heating the planet. A vicious cycle writ large. So compressor efficiency is set to be a very big deal in the coming decades, and by proxy, that makes the Magtor's Magtor Presser a device worth looking into, because this Maltese company claims its demonstrator units are already delivering 90% more pressure than the average air compressor for the same power consumption, and some 29% more than the best current devices on the market. How? Well, Magtor does away with the rotating crank and piston assembly used by today's standard reciprocating designs, replacing it with a much simpler linear oscillating design capable of compressing air in both directions as it moves back and forth. Essentially, two round magnetic plates are joined at the middle by a connecting rod designed to transmit magnetic forces in both directions. These run through the middle of a large stator, the same diameter as the plates. The two plates, joined by the rod, comprise the single moving part in this design. There's only one moving part. There are no bearings or lubrication required. When a voltage is applied to the stator, it'll push this large double-sided piston in one direction or the other, depending on the polarity of the voltage. So if you plug it into alternating current or switched single-phase DC, the pushing force will change directions many times per second, and the piston will start moving rapidly back and forth. Magtor calls it the world's first high-energy bidirectional linear electric motor, and stresses that this is not an unrolled stator-rotor combination. nor does it use permanent magnets moving inside the electromagnet as with other linear motor designs. Where these designs use very small gaps between the magnetic elements, the MagTOR drive is able to use efficient longer-range magnetic interactions between elements up to 10 centimeters apart, placing a pump or compression chamber on either end, buffered by springs, gives you air pressure at both ends, which can be diverted to separate purposes or run into a single line. I know this is confusing, but it's very interesting if you know what I'm talking about. The end result is a smaller, lighter compressor that works faster than a traditional compressor, consumes less power, and causes no power demand spike when you start it up. And that's the main problem with these things when you start up motors, especially, is they get a very high spike, and that's what causes motors to burn out, is eventually they can't take that startup all the time. Okay, so MagTOR says this device could be a drop-in replacement for standard compressors wherever they're used, but it's focusing on developing partnerships with large manufacturers that can bring the MagTOPressor to market pre-built into AC units, fridges, traditional compressors, or anything else that would benefit from the design. An average German household using these pumps just for refrigeration and air conditioning can expect to save somewhere between $91 and $240 a year on energy bills. So it's just kind of interesting, saves a lot of power, and it doesn't have any moving parts, so it doesn't wear out as quickly, on and on and on. There's a lot of benefits to this. I would like to see if this actually gets out into the market and is something that is sold soon, because this kind of stuff just, it interests me. And the reason why is because I was in wastewater for years and we worked with motors all the time. We had, you know, blowers and we had pumps and we had gears and all kinds of stuff that had to be moving. And so the motors are something I'm familiar with, and to see how this is something completely different that uses this magnetic process, cool stuff. Okay. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Zero Hedge. Okay, now obviously this guy doesn't give you any answer as to what he is saying here, but it's an interesting article. A lot of people sent it to me, so a lot of people have already seen it, but it's still very interesting. He does not give you his conclusion, but I will see if you can guess what his conclusion is, obviously, okay, without him saying it. Something really strange is happening at hospitals all over America. Emergency rooms are filled to overflowing all over America. And nobody can seem to explain why this is happening. Right now, the number of new COVID cases in the U.S. each day is less than half of what it was just a couple months ago. That is really good news, and many people believe that this is a sign that the pandemic is fading. With less people catching the virus, you would think that would mean that our emergency rooms should be emptying out, but the opposite is actually happening. All across the country, emergency rooms are absolutely packed. And in many cases, we are seeing seriously ill patients being cared for in the hallways because all of the ER rooms are already full. Inside the emergency department at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, Michigan, staff members are struggling to care for patients showing up much sicker than they've ever seen. The ER's nursing director practically vibrates with pent-up anxiety looking at the patients lying on a long line of stretchers pushed up against the beige walls of the hospital hallways. There's nothing she can do. The ER's 72 rooms are already filled. Can anyone explain why this is happening, he asks. He doesn't give you his conclusion. You can make your own. He goes on. If the number of COVID cases was starting to spike again, it would make sense for emergency rooms to be overflowing. But at this particular hospital, we're being told that some of the main things that are being treated include abdominal pain, respiratory problems, blood clots, and heart conditions. That mention of heart conditions immediately got my attention because I've been seeing this so much in the news recently. For instance, a high school senior in Pennsylvania just dropped dead from a sudden cardiac incident. The high school soccer manager greatly enjoyed his team's championship victory Saturday. Later that evening, he was dead. In a letter to parents, the school announced that the senior died after a sudden cardiac incident Saturday night. Elsewhere in the same state, an otherwise healthy 12-year-old boy just suddenly died because of an issue with his coronary artery. Heart problems kill elderly people all the time. But it's odd that so many healthy young people have been having these problems. Over the weekend, Barcelona striker Sergio Aguero suddenly collapsed on the pitch during a match. He was later diagnosed with cardiac arrhythmia. Just 2 days later, a match in Norway was brought to a screeching halt after a player experienced cardiac arrest right in the middle of a match. I've been seeing so many stories like this, so why are so many young people suddenly having such serious problems with their hearts? Can anyone explain it to me, he asks. You absolutely know what the reason is, but he leaves you to just think this through, which is a great way of doing an article like this. But next article is proof that he wasn't just making this up. From NPR, big lefty people, right? This is WUSF, which is right up there in Tampa. ERs are now swamped with seriously ill patients, but many don't even have COVID. And their comment, I just took one comment out of the middle. This is their reason for it. Months of treatment delays have exacerbated chronic conditions and worsened symptoms. Doctors and nurses say the severity of illness ranges widely and includes abdominal pain, respiratory problems, blood clots, heart conditions, and then they add in suicide attempts. NPR, they want you to believe this because they have a backlog of stuff that people are suddenly keeling over with heart problems all over, young people. And the hospitals all over America are chock full. NPR confirms it. What is it?
I don't know.
Okay, from Fox Weather. Nebraska farmers, I did not know this. I'm happy to hear this because I'm always giving you bad news about farming and gardening and the supply of food in the nation. Nebraska farmers on track for record high harvest despite wild weather swings. So they are the exception. Yes, thumbs up on that. Good stuff. Okay. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. Breitbart, 12 sexual and violent offenders, trans inmates are moved into women's prisons in Scotland. That's going to go over just as well as all of the other places that they've done this. Every other place, it has been a complete disaster. Here you go. From Great Britain News, boys and teachers asked to wear skirts in Scottish school to break down gender stereotypes. So everybody's just got to wear the same skirts. Scottish primary school has requested both boys and girls to wear skirts for the day in a bid to show their solidarity with a boy in Spain who was expelled for wearing a girl's uniform. Castleview Primary's P6 pupils took part in their school's wearing a skirt to school campaign. The move follows a Spanish initiative, La Ropa No Tiene Género, translated as clothes have no gender. The initiative, and if you're Spanish, don't correct my Spanish. I don't know how to speak Spanish. The initiative was born out of a 15-year-old boy being referred to a psychologist for wearing a skirt in lessons. Yeah, well, in Scotland, I was going to say that. In Scotland, they wear them anyway because they're, you know, the guys wear the kilts. But I actually did a wedding for a girl that I grew up with, and we went to school together, and she still is a flight stewardess. Yes, I added the S at the end. And she got married to a guy from the UK, and we did the wedding up in North Carolina, and all of his friends came over, and they all wore kilts during the wedding. I saw a lot of knees that I didn't need to see, but it was a nice wedding. Okay, from Epic Times, male gymnast sues University of Minnesota for sex-based discrimination after school cancels the team. The school believes too many men participate in campus sports, given that female students outnumber the males. And so they canceled all sports because the guys like to play sports and gymnastics and stuff like that. Let's just cancel everything. Epic Times, Loudoun County announces, get this, Loudoun County. Yeah. Pervert Palace of America for the past number of years. Loudoun County announces independent review of how sexual assault handled. Why? Because they now have a Republican governor. If you don't do it to yourself, they're going to do it to you, and my guess is they're still going to do it to you. All of a sudden, it becomes important when the elections are over that they do this. This girl was raped in a bathroom in the high school, and they covered it up. They punished her. Yeah, and her dad got arrested for simply complaining about it. Yeah. And now they're doing an independent review from the National Review. Spain expands free fertility treatment to lesbians, single women, transgender people. Breitbart, Marvel's Eternals, featuring gay superhero, not showing in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Kuwait. something good out of the Mideast. Okay, some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the sermons from the Superior Word. Okay, from the Epic Times, Russia will supply Navy with Tsirkon hypersonic missiles in 2022, says Putin. That's coming really soon. The trials of the Tsirkon seaborne hypersonic cruise missile are coming to a close. In the course of the trials, it struck both ground and sea targets from submerged positions and from surface ships accurately and in full compliance with the assigned task. Already from next year, these missiles will start arriving for service in the Russian Navy. The Russian leader has emphasized that the weapons deployment will significantly boost Russian military capabilities. You're 40 miles off the coast of America. You've got a hypersonic weapon with a nuclear bomb at the end of it, and there is absolutely nothing that we can do about it. Zero. Zero hedge. Catching up, U.S. Navy's Zumwalt stealth destroyers to get hypersonic missiles. Okay, good. We're going to put them in. Well, we don't even have them properly developed yet. That's how far behind we are. The U.S. Navy is planning to replace the deck gun of the Zumwalt class stealth destroyers in the next few years with missile tubes to house hypersonic weapons. In a conversation with Navy News, the service said engineering planning efforts have already started to replace the 155-millimeter advanced gun turrets in the forward hull. This will free up space for vertical launch system cells that will store hypersonic missiles. There was no word on how many VLS cells would be fitted into the front of the vessels. At the moment, there are two stealth destroyers operational and one more under construction. Our view is that the Zumwalt destroyer is outdated and spending hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, on retrofitting VLS cells in the hull is a waste of taxpayers' money. At the same time, China can launch hypersonic weapons from space. America's top military officer is beginning to realize the U.S. is falling behind the hypersonic race with China. You think? Mail Online. Hyper woke Portland becomes the latest city to refund its police department after seeing record-breaking murder spike. No kidding. Mayor Ted Wheeler wants an extra $5 million to hire more cops. The city reported 73 murders in 2021 alone, more than its previous record of 66, which was set in 1987, which is an 83% up from the start of 2020. Zero hedge. Over 20,000 migrants have crossed the English Channel into the UK this year. It was 15,000 last time I reported, not too long ago. More than 20,000 people have crossed the English Channel illegally into the UK aboard small boats since the start of the year. More than double the total for the whole of 2020, the latest figures show. By the time they're done, which is we got another 2 months to go or month and a half, but that was only to the end of the month, they'll be way above that, folks. From the post-millennial, Texas installs makeshift border wall consisting of shipping containers as massive migrant caravan approaches border. Our president will do nothing, so they are doing something. Workers began hauling dozens of shipping containers to the Rio Grande River. Texas Governor Abbott had announced last week the plans to use the shipping containers to prevent illegal border crossings along the U.S.-Mexico border. The action comes in addition to the more than 6,500 Texas Department of Public Safety Highway Patrol troopers and Texas Army National Guardsmen deployed to the region. The National Guard was recently deployed ahead of the container's placement, with troops being stationed in Humbles along the Rio Grande River to deter those looking to cross illegally. Around 30 vehicles are parked less than 150 feet from each other. The shipping containers will be installed to fill in the gaps between the vehicles. The area surrounding Eagle Pass is considered a hotspot for illegal crossings, with the Border Patrol noting it is as problematic due to the close proximity to private residences. Some single adults crossing the border illegally attempt to elude arrest in this area, creating a cause for concern. Construction crews are also working to finish building a 2-mile-long, 18-foot-tall border wall, which I talked about a month ago, that ends where the National Guard wall ends. This push to secure the border comes as a massive caravan of migrants has moved its way through Mexico, possibly more than 60,000 people are a part of this caravan. And Biden does nothing. From the Epic Times, General Milley, this is the specialist on Afghanistan. Yeah. Listen to this. Taiwan is doomed. Listen to this. General Milley says China unlikely to militarily seize Taiwan in near future. China is unlikely to use military force to seize Taiwan in the near future, but the country's communist regime does pose a serious threat not only to the self-ruled island, but also to the U.S., General Milley said. Now, he said that they would take months and months or years to take over Afghanistan, and it took, what, 37 minutes? And now he's saying that Taiwan is safe?
Right.
Zero Hedge. Chicago homicide crisis worsens as Mayor Lightfoot fails to quell violence. Mayor Lightfoot's promise to reduce an epidemic of gun violence has failed miserably. New crime statistics published by the Chicago PD shows the liberal mayor's performance in office has been disappointing. And there's growing discontent among Chicagoans as gun violence spirals out of control. Police data showed 678 people in Chicago were murdered between January 1st and October 31st. That's higher than the past 4 years. We're not even to the end of the year. 2020, there were 661, 2019, 432, 2018, 490, 2017, 583. So she's capped the record, man. She's got it made. She's the cat's meow as far as murders in her city. Breitbart, nearly 50 shot during the weekend. Okay, so we can add more to the total I just read you. Nearly 50 shot during the weekend in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago. 50 people last weekend. Epic Times, food prices vault to highest level in a decade. Food prices across the world have risen to their highest levels in a decade on the back of tightening supply conditions coupled with robust demand, stockpiling, according to the FAO of the UN. From Zero Hedge, Oreo cookies, Ritz crackers, and Sour Patch Kids will cost 7% more next year. From Weasel Zippers, milk prices up 26% and still climbing. From Mail Online, inflation butchers your holiday roast. Bone-in ribeye doubles in price to $16.99 per pound, while bacon, beef chuck, and steaks reach highest price in a decade as meatflation sets in across America. The Biden admin says the companies are deliberately hiking prices out of greed. Oh, yeah. Despite inflation being seen in all categories of consumer prices. But they're only targeting the food. Why are they doing that? I said it a couple weeks ago. They want to take over the food industry so that they have you completely in their clutches. Completely. They are targeting the food industry. And not even the producers. The cattle guys aren't getting targeted. They may be taxed and et cetera. But they don't care because they are selling the meat. They're always going to sell meat. Okay, it's the people in the middle that they are targeting so that they can get total control of the food supply. That's what these lefties want. Because when they have that, they can tell you, you can eat or you can't eat. Mail Online, America's oldest gun maker. Anybody know what the oldest gun maker in America is?
Remington.
Yes, hey, who said that first? I owe you something. I'll buy you something. I'll give you a piece of candy out of that bowl. Okay, good. Okay, that was very good. And you said it very. Did anybody else say it too? Couple people. All right, I heard him first and he was closer, so he gets the piece of candy. Okay, America's oldest gun maker, Remington, moves its headquarters from upstate New York to gun-friendly Georgia in $100 million, 856 job deal. 6 weeks after Smith & Wesson moved from Massachusetts to Tennessee. Good. Okay, who said it? A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. Who said that? C.S. Lewis. Yes. Okay, got electric here for you. Let's see if you can figure out what's going on. The illegals will run, skip or crawl, do whatever it takes to broach wall. Heretofore not detained, now they're duly constrained by some steel that for them is too tall. Good. I love Texas Governor Abbott. He's doing a great job. Not nearly as good of a job as DeSantis.
That's right.
That guy is cleaning house right now.
Yes.
I love our governor.
Amen.
Okay, got a little bit of irony here for you, and then we'll be done. from ABC6. You probably heard this, but if not, yes, it's ironic, and I guarantee you she's a lefty. I don't know that for sure, but I'm just giving you the guarantee. Florida School Teacher of the Year recipient arrested on child abuse charges. Beating up her kids in class. Yes. Okay, and from the Superior Word News Service, Mayor of St. Louis has press conference on violent crime in her city, interrupted by gunfire. Yeah. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CGE report for the week.